Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
We're going to open up with prayer on tonight. We thank everyone for listening on tonight to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. The subject on tonight, what we will be talking about tonight, is breaking idols and family curses. Now, we're going to be dealing with different foul spirits and devils that try to destroy marriages and come into homes and bring all kinds of problems. But right now, before we go any further, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every foul spirit that would try to hinder the program on tonight. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every foul idol against God, we bind them up and we cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against all family curses right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in Jesus' name. We come against all marriage-breaking spirits, all foul spirits that were coming to hinder and break up marriages. We come against them right now by the blood and in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father God, we ask right now that you touch and bless all our listeners on tonight. Open up their hearts and their minds that they might receive revelation from your word. That they might apply it to their lives for deliverance tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. So, as I said earlier, our subject is breaking idols and family curses. And what we will do, we will go immediately to Sister Catherine Montgomery, Minister Montgomery, that she would come and bring out some key parts and texts in reference to breaking idols and family curses. Go ahead, sister.
Hey, well, good evening to our listening audience. First of all, I wanted to make an announcement. If you are in the Canton, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia area, be sure to join us. We are meeting for fellowship on Sundays at 11 a.m. The address is 9550 Bells Ferry Road. That's Canton, Georgia, 30114. Like I said, we meet for fellowship. It is not a traditional service. We just really meet, let the Lord go forth, have his way, and then we dismiss and go home. But that's the way it is. Trying to get away from a lot of religion, religiosity. We just teach new first century church, and that's what we abide by. Tonight we are speaking on generational curses, but you can't talk about curses without talking about the marriage-breaking spirit, which is Asmodeus. And a lot of you have never heard that name. I was somewhat naive to it a few years ago until I got a revelation through some of our teachers in different programs talking about this spirit. And if you notice, marriage today, they say, statistics, one out of two marriages end in divorce. Well, I was listening to the radio today, and they say the number one reason people get divorced is finances. But we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about some of the contributing factors. Now, are we saying all divorce is wrong? No. There are some instances where you have to pray about it and ask God to release you. We're not talking about cases where there is abuse, things of this nature. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about two believing Christians who honor God and they want to please God. Then we need to talk about some things because we see how it has crept into the body of Christ. And there was, even when Jesus was presented the questions, he told them there were certain conditions that divorce would be allowed. But just for reasons of irreconcilable differences, that shouldn't be named among Christians. Now, if you're married to a person and he's abusive or she's abusive, and there is harm or there's something involved in that area, then I would suggest that you seek some kind of professional marriage counseling by a Christian. I wanted to also lift the families up in prayer. We see we had another shooting, and saints, are you noticing the pattern here? I mean, this spirit, this demon is going from state to state to state. This same violent wrath demon is going to these weak-minded people, and they turning guns and shooting innocent people. This is part of Asmodeus. We have been talking about Baal worship, so we're going to delve a little deeper into Asmodeus. So first I want to give you the introduction to Asmodeus. Asmodeus or Asmodai, Hebrew, is the king of demons, mostly known from the Deuteronomical Book of Tibet. in which he is the primary antagonist. The demon is also mentioned in some Talmudic legends, for instance, in the story of the construction of the Temple of Solomon. He was supposed by some Renaissance Christians to be the king of the nine hells. Asmodeus also is referred to as one of the seven princes of hell. And this Bind Field classification of demons, each one of these princes represent one of the seven deadly sins. And what are the seven deadly sins? Pride, lust, envy, sloth, greed, gluttony, and wrath. Asmodeus is the demon of lust and is therefore responsible for twisting people's sexual desires. It is said that people who fall to Asmodeus' ways will be sentenced to an eternity in the second level of hell. Now, you know, that's a myth there, but I just wanted to bring out the attribute of this spirit, which is pride, lust, envy, sloth, greed, gluttony, and wrath. Now, when you look at Asmodeus, he hates marriages, and that sounds like something the enemy would do because God created marriage. So what the enemy wants to do is subvert marriage. And I want to just apologize if you hear me keep clearing my throat. I had a terrible cold last week. That's partly why we didn't do the radio broadcast. So I'm still in recovery mode. But however, just keep me in prayer. Okay, I wanted to bring out this particular, when I looked up Asmodeus in the Greek, I was also referenced to this particular spirit or god of the Philistines called Ashdod. Ashdod means stronghold or fortress. One of the five chief cities of the Philistines was Ashdod. Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. It says they were assigned to Judah, but Judah fell to drive out the inhabitants because they had iron chariots. Ashdod was the center of Dagon, talking about idol worship. Dagon was their idol god that the Philistines worshiped. Ashdod was the center of Dagon worship, but when the Philistines thought to honor the Ark of the Lord by placing it in the house of Dagon, 1 Samuel 5:1-7, God cast down and destroyed their idols. You see, that's why it's so imperative that we cannot allow idols, forms of idol worship, to come into the house of God. We need to have men and women that will stand up and take a stand and say, this is not acceptable in the house of God. Let's go on. It says, in Nehemiah's time, the men of Ashdod combined with others, listen to how this demon works, they combined with others to hinder the Jews, that's in Nehemiah 4:7-9, failing in this, they tried intermarrying with them. 13:23-24, to produce a mongrel race, but Nehemiah formed them. You see? So when I said intermingling, intermarrying, that's what Satan wants to do. And we're going to be talking about unequally being unequally yoked. Because a lot of times, this particular spirit will set traps in the church to get you or seduce you through, what did God say? Lust. So you're thinking this man or woman is a man or woman of God because they look holy, they sound holy, but they're really operating in the spirit of Asmodeus. We're going to be talking about that. Let's go over here to Solomon. And you know the story of Solomon, he was God granted him the wisdom and everything like that. Solomon was very, very rich. God gave him so much. I want to just give you a little breakdown of everything this he had. God was pleased with this choice, granted his request, talking about wisdom, and also gave him riches and honor. Now let's jump down. It says, Solomon was a wise and learned man. It is stated that his wisdom was greater than that of all wise men of the East and in Egypt. Expert in botany and zoology, he was also a writer credited with 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs. That's in 1 Kings 4:32. And named the author of the two Psalms, and he go on. His fame was widespread, and people came from afar to hear. You see how God had blessed him? Solomon had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, 2 Chronicles 1:14. He also had cities for his chariots and his cavalry. So you see, he was a very rich man. So let's go on down. God had gave him all this wealth, all this wisdom. But let's jump down. Women were a serious weakness of Solomon. And he made many political alliances through marriage. 1 Kings 11:1 through 4. God had warned that such marriages would lead to apostasy. You see? God had already told him that this would lead to apostasy when you marry outside of the mandates that God has established for you. The harem of Solomon had a collection of some 700 wives and 300 concubines. He built places, listen to this, he built places of worship for the false gods to satisfy his heathen wives. The Lord was angered at Solomon's failure to keep his explicit commands and announced to him the rift in the kingdom that was to take place in the reign of his son. So you see, God will punish when you are unrepentant and you're disobedient. God will send destruction upon you. This is not a scare tactic. This is a reality check. Because a lot of marriages are destroyed because of that one thing, what he had, lust. Lust. A lot of marriages. So you will have your wife or your husband and somebody else talking something in your ear, and you be driven away by naivety, and you go after that particular spirit of Asmodeus. Let's talk about 1 Timothy. See, God is saying such marriages will lead to apostasy. See, when we go astray and we start looking in the world for companionship or relationship, all we're doing is opening the door to a lot of devastation. Are we saying not to get married? God forbid. God said anyone who forbid marriage, that is an abomination. We don't forbid marriage. But I will say you need to make sure that person you're seeking out to marry is a godly man or woman, not just in name only. But you need to watch them. Watch how they react. Watch what is closer to their heart. Is it an idol sin up there, or is it the true and living God? You can tell a lot by a person's action. I want to go over here to 1 Timothy 4 and 3, and let's go there. For those who have your Bibles, just turn with me, and if you don't, I'll just read it. But Timothy is talking about all the apostasy and had crept in the church, and it was allowed, and he was saying these are some of the signs that we will see in the last days. Number one, people won't endure sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own own desires, because they have engineers, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Do you not see that today, saints? People will go to a church that caters to their lifestyle. So if you're a fornicator, You'll go to a preacher that skim over the top. He won't address fornication. Fornication is okay in his church because he's not going to address it. If you're an adulterer, you'll go to a church that caters to adultery. We won't discuss that. If you're a homosexual, you'll go to a homosexual church, vice versa. And this is how it goes. They will go to places having itching ears, keep up for themselves teachers. So they search them out. They look for them. And they'll tell you, oh, you too hard. I don't want to sit up under that. You, because holiness is not their motto right now. I want to do what I want to do and still have the religious backing. And Pastor Bobby will bring out how Asmodeus is religious. Very religious. You see, that's the main place he goes to the church because he knows he could deceive a lot of people in the church. Okay, 1 Timothy 5 and 11. Let's go there. And we're just going through some scriptures here. Okay, 1 Timothy 5 and 11 says, but refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. This is what he was saying. The younger women is best to have husbands because if they're not old enough to be, they may be a widow, but it's better for them to remarry because he don't want them to grow into lust or burning with passion. And this is what Paul was saying. This is why women in the church have to be very careful, especially a lot of younger women, because this spirit, it can prey up on them, and it can have you driven away thinking this person really cares for you, but really it's a lust spirit. And these are some of the things that are not addressed in the church. This lust is just going rampant in the body of Christ. It's breaking up homes. It's breaking up families. It's destroying marriages. Nobody is talking about the spirit of lust, of Asmodeus. It's hush, hush. Because a lot of times it starts at the top. So the head of the church, we shouldn't say head, but whoever is the pastor, he can't address it because he's filled with lust. He's burning with passion. These are some of the things that Paul, they rooted out of the body of Christ. Let's go on. Okay, when you, the Bible actually says when you see something, there was a particular instance, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, where this young man was having sexual relations with his mother-in-law. You may say, well, how was that? Well, you know, back in the day, fathers would marry younger women. So if that son was of age and he married a younger woman to for his bride, that boy could have started lusting after his mother-in-law. So a lot of times people think mother-in-law, she was old, broke down. No, she probably was a younger woman, but that was customary for older men to marry younger women. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, it says, he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the Lord Jesus. What he was telling them is when you find some of this stuff going on in the body of Christ, deliver them over to Satan. If, when they don't hear, when you go to them in correction and they won't hear you, they won't stop, then he said you have to just turn them over and let them go on to their own destruction, which it will be if they don't repent. Do that mean they're going to fall dead? No. But they're going to reap the consequences of their action. And people do not want correction, you know, and I find that. They don't want to be corrected in the body of Christ. They have this greasy grace where they feel they can do anything and you shouldn't say anything to them. But he said right here, you shouldn't even have fellowship with someone who is unrepentant, who is really a spirit of pride in them, and they won't humble themselves, and they know what they're doing is wrong. He says, your glorying is not good. Do you know not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If you allow that particular behavior, like the young man sleeping with his mother-in-law, to go on in the body, then it's going to spread. It's going to spread. This is how demons, this spirit does. one person doing lust, adultery, another person, and then you see a whole body of believers sitting up in there, and pretty much a lot of folks who's laying up, sleeping around, having adultery, fornicating. This should not be in the body of Christ, but it's this Asmodeus spirit. So this is why we need to root this spirit out. We need to call it for what it is. You see how even Solomon, God was pleased with him in the beginning. But because of that lust, he didn't deal with it. It destroyed him and separated him from God. Saints, if we don't deal with lust in our marriages, that's why a few weeks ago we taught on pornography. Because that pornography comes through your marriage. It can destroy marriages. You can have greed. You can have lust. You can have pride. I told you the number one reason for divorce is because of finances. Why would people allow a financial problem to tear their marriages apart? Because they're looking at the Joneses. I don't have a big house. Rather than downsize, you see men or women go out and murder their whole family when they lose a job. Now, that's something I can't comprehend. I would rather downsize and get a two-bedroom house than to get all this pressure where I can't pay for it, and you end up doing the unthinkable thing. God don't want us to be like that. God wants us to look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we see how intermarrying unbelievers with believers, it can bring strain on your relationship. Now, if you already married to an unbeliever, what I would say is you pray for him because God can change him. But like Paul said, you, by your praying, a sanctified one wife can sanctify the husband, but you're going to have to really pray for that person. Because you see, you there's two forces in a marriage. When one is a believer, one is an unbeliever, you got God's force and you got Satan, and they warring against each other. So that brings conflict in the home right there. So that's why we try to tell people before you even get married, don't be driven away by lust. Make sure that God has called this person to be your spouse, to be your wife, so you can go into a holy union. And with that, I'm going to close it. Because, you know, we have 60 minutes, so Pastor Bobby, he'll go over some things, and I hope you was blessed by that. Amen?
Amen, amen. As we were talking about breaking idols and family curses, and Minister Catherine Montgomery, she brought out some excellent points in reference to Asmodeus and Osmodeus. Asmodeus is the female aspect of that foul spirit, and Osmodeus is the male aspect of that foul spirit. But the reason we're talking about that, because we're talking about breaking idols and family curses. And if you don't know what these foul spirits are, how are you going to address them? How are you going to break it if you don't know what it is? So that's why we're going this way, because it's in a lot of people's homes, and it's in a lot of believers' homes. There's a lot of believers that's they're involved in divorce, and they have more stuff going on in their home than a lot of unbelievers. So we're dealing with that tonight. Now, she brought out a lot of things in reference to Asmodeus or Osmodeus, and I'm going to bring out some more things too. Now, what we need to realize is this Osmodeus is really what he is. He's right under Lucifer, right under Satan. He is recognized as a king. I believe Sister Minister Catherine Montgomery brought that out. So he has the scripture, the word tells us, an investigation tells us, that this particular spirit, being a king spirit, has legions of devils up under him. So many times the devils that we are dealing with is in his domain. Now, Satan's dominion really is divided into three main strongholds. You have the stronghold of the heaven, the stronghold of the earth, and the stronghold of the sea or waters. And we're not going to really deal into these various strongholds because we want to concentrate on these idols and these family curses and these marriage-breaking spirits. That's what we want to deal with. But this Asmodeus, many times he deals with the sea, and he deals with the heavens. Now, Asmodeus, I'm going to bring out some things in reference to him. Now, as was brought out earlier, he is a mythical spirit with characteristics such as an overpowering tendency to rage, lust, impetuousness, impurity, and psychic activities. That's Asmodeus. That's his characteristics. Now, one thing I want to bring out, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's truth. Now, if you have been divorced, now you probably still have this Asmodeus in you, and it must be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, this thing is not the flesh and fleshly appetites and not a battle with flesh, but a battle with a king of demons. That's Asmodeus. He sits in heavenly places. Remember, he has about 72 legions up under him. He's a king. Now, the scripture tells us in the rabbinic literature that he's called the king of demons, see? And is sometimes equated with Abaddon, Apollyon, and Beelzebub. He is known as the angel of the bottomless pit. And in the last days, this spirit will take on the form, in the last days now, it hasn't happened now. It hasn't happened yet. But in the last days, he will take on the spirit will take on the form of locusts and will torture those human beings who do not bear the seal of God. Now that's further on up in the future. Now Abaddon is found in Job 31:12. Now it says, it's an uncontrolled passion. Is a fire which consumes the Abaddon. It's to destruction, ruin, and the place of final torment. So that fire once lighted would rage until all is consumed and would burn to the root of my life's increase. It just destroys everything. Then in Proverbs 27:20, it's the place of the dead, Abaddon, the place of destruction. It's never satisfied. See, the lust of the eyes of man is never satisfied. Proverbs 30:16, show the place of the dead, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire that stays hot. It's enough. It says, moreover, Habakkuk 2:5, moreover, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man is restless and cannot stay at home. His appetite is large like Sheol, and his greed is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and collects all people as if he owned them. So you see, this particular spirit is drenched in lust. It never gets enough. And that's what he desires to place in people's homes. That's what he desires to do to various marriages. He just puts in people's hearts and minds a spirit of greed and lust to never get enough of anything. Constantly grabbing, and that's not the spirit of God. Now it says here, Apollyon and Abaddon are found in Revelations 9:11. Over them as king, they have the angel of the abyss, of the bottomless pit. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, which is destruction, but in Greek, he is called Apollyon, which is destroyer. This is something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Now, Beelzebub, there's another reference to Asmodeus, which is a marriage-breaking spirit which brings curses into your home when you invite them in. It said Beelzebub is found in Mark 3:22, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that he is casting out demons. And you remember what our Lord and Savior told them after they said that. It says, can a kingdom divided itself against itself cannot stand? Well, the devil is not divided against himself like that. They're not as organized as the kingdom of God, but they're not divided against themselves like that. not in that sense, you see. So they do have some organization, and they do have rank, and they do work together in certain realms, mostly to destroy mankind. Is what they work for. But it says Asmodeus is warring against all and every marriage, and is also keeping many from getting married. And that's why and it's interesting today that people would rather live together in fornication and adultery rather than marrying. So you see, Asmodeus is really doing his thing these days. And we're going to get into how to fight these various spirits and how to be set free from these spirits, because we don't want to give them credit for anything. They don't need any credit. What they need is to be cast out and defeated by the blood of the Lamb, because that's what our Lord and Savior came, was born, he lived, he died, he went up on the cross and died, was buried and resurrected on the third day, and that we might have a right to eternal life and have life more abundantly. An abundant life does not involve being oppressed, depressed, and possessed by foul demonic spirits. I had to say that because we have victory in Christ. It says, he is sometimes referred to as the genius of matrimonial discord and jealousy, Asmodeus, because he has remained a relatively unknown spirit. He has masqueraded in many forms, deceiving scores of people and taking them captive. It says, Asmodeus is like this. He says, if you'll serve me, you will never want for anything. I'll take care of all your needs. You'll never need a husband. See, that sounds good. And that sounds almost like the Lord speaking, but it's wrong. It's demonic. It's of the devil. See, Satan, what he's trying to do, he hates marriage. So he's trying to prevent marriages from taking place. He's trying to break up existing long-suffering relationships. See, that's what happens when you see somebody that's been married for 10, 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden they'll get a divorce. Well, the reason they're getting a divorce is because this foul spirit has crept in there some kind of way, and he's been working all those years to break that marriage apart. Why? Because he hates it. And another reason why he hates it is because it's instituted by God, and it's holy, and it's very significant in the spirit realm. See, the marriage ceremony speaks of a day when the ultimate wedding will take place, the wedding between God's Son and his bride, the church. Asmodeus can't stand that. This is the reason Satan is doing everything he can to prevent any marriage from taking place. Now, like I said, there are some people, but not many. There are some people that are eunuchs. That means that they don't have any desire for men or women. They really have no sexual desires for men or women at all when they are born a eunuch. So that means God has set them aside not to marry. Then you have some that they won't marry for another reason. They were made eunuchs by men working in the king's court. That was in historical times when they would have men to take care of the king's harem, and so they would make them a eunuch, where they would not desire a woman. But see, in God, if a person is born like that, he just naturally don't want a woman, the woman don't want a man. But if he or she is a eunuch, they won't have their desire for male or female. You see, they will not have that desire at all. It won't be there. And with a person like that, they're most of the time dedicated strictly to the Lord. But there's not too many people like that, I'll say that. Now, another thing I like to bring out, that researchers point out that Asmodeus has many characteristics, and some even sound beneficial. I'll bring it out. But on the one hand, he's jealous, filled with rage, lustful, given to extreme excesses. On the other hand, he loves to have a good time. He's sympathetic and is very religious. Asmodeus is very religious. He'll be at church more than you will. Every time the door is open, he'll be there. This says, history points him out as the one that desires to possess young women in Christian service to make them lustful and destroy them and their work. Now, that's not just for the women. That's for men, too. He works both ways. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring out some other characteristics now. The scripture tells us that the devil, Asmodeus, he just roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whoever he may devour. He doesn't care. So we have to guard ourselves against all the devil's tactics, against all of them. Because if we don't, as we just said, he doesn't care who he devours. He doesn't care who you look like. He doesn't care how much money you have. He does not care about your stature in life. He doesn't care about any of that. He wants to destroy anybody and everybody that he can. Now, I want to bring out this, because Asmodeus, he's a lustful spirit. Now, when he says lustful, it doesn't mean just sexual lust. It means lust of every kind. It means lust for power. It means lust for money. It means lust for just any kind of lust that you can think of. It's not just sexual, see. So we want to deal with that. It's not just sexual. It's the attitude of not having enough. Period. Okay. Now it says a lustful spirit that will motivate a marriage partner to be unfaithful, bringing in an adulterous spirit. Now, it says many marriages have been destroyed because of adultery, extreme jealousy, rage, and physical abuse. All right. Now, men can be affected by that same spirit as women, so it goes both ways. But now, here's the thing about this. Now, it says if no matter how much you pray, you cannot be set free unless it comes as a miracle. But you must cast this devil out according to Mark 16:17. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and deliverance, casting out demons, is the only way to be set free from these marriage-breaking spirits. In other words, you got to repent, you have to forgive, you have to come to Jesus Christ, and you have to surrender yourself to him so that the Spirit of God can release you from these foul spirits and these curses and these idols. That's the only way. That's the only way. Now, let me bring out some things here now. Now, because he's a religious spirit, Asmodeus is the same demon that tells people that they should get a divorce so they can better serve the Lord. Listen to that foolishness. In fact, you have some people that's prophesied to people that I'll just go over this with you here. In fact, somebody actually prophesied that to a minister. The word, and see, when they prophesy these things, it sounds good because you think it's coming from the Lord, but it's not. You have false prophets out there, so you have to be careful. See, the word sounded good to the man because his wife was not a Christian. But within days, the woman got saved. And when his wife got saved, he realized that a deceiving spirit was talking to him. If he would have obeyed that lying spirit, he could have destroyed his marriage. And that's just what that demon Asmodeus wanted. You see? But the ploy of Satan and Asmodeus is to destroy every Christian, every believer. Satan wants to destroy him, and he destroys him by his foul spirits, Asmodeus, and all the demons that's associated with Asmodeus. But that's why we have to trust in God, trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and plead the blood of Jesus over these spirits and cast them out in the name of Jesus. That's the only way we can deal with them. We can't deal with them on our own strength. That's what happened to Solomon. He couldn't deal with those devils when he went over into their territory when he married those demonic women, those idol-worshipping women. that was all involved in Ashtoreth and Baal worship and all that. No, he couldn't do it. And we can't do it without Christ. But we do have Christ. So we have victory, and we can break those family curses, and we can break those idols that the enemy would have over us to try to bind us up and pull us from God. We can do it through Christ Jesus. Now, listen at this. I have to say this. Now, right now, Satan is being exposed. His tactics are being revealed by the Spirit of God and by the people of God. And we're telling people how to be set free. If you got this spirit, if you've got this spirit moving in your home, we're going to tell you how to get away from under it, how to break the power of the enemy. You can do it, but it has to be through Christ Jesus. You have to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You have to repent. You have to denounce and deny all this foul spirit. You have to forgive. You have to ask the Lord to save you, and he will. Then these things can be broken. Now, oh, hallelujah, praise your holy name. Now, we have there's a prayer for deliverance. It says, Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my spouse for anything he or she has done to hurt me. Amen. Now, that right there will break the back of Asmodeus. One thing that Jesus says, he says that you can pray and ask him and have faith, and a mountain will move and jump off into the sea. Now, that's what Jesus said. But that's in reference to forgiveness. See, when you forgive, the mountain of sin, all these different curses, all these different idols, when you forgive, you break that. When you don't forgive, you give all this stuff power. Now, let me read something else to you. We have to bind the satanic powers and break soul ties between the spirits and the people. We got to come against greed, never satisfied, restlessness, barren room, pride, destruction, overpowering tendencies. It said locust, uncontrolled passion, lust, fire which consumes, the destroyer, to be burning with passion, rejection, adultery, king of evil spirits, treacherousness, the prince of demons, impetuousness, Beelzebub, impurity, oh, hallelujah, lord of the fire, psychic activities, Satan, the devil, jealousy, the chief of demons, religious, Baal, the prince, extreme excesses, the Lord of Heaven, spiritual death, prince of scorpions, the lust of the eyes, torture, rage, Abaddon, matrimonial discourse, Asmodeus, and Apollyon. Now, all that I just mentioned is in reference to Asmodeus. So all that is what you're dealing with. All that is what helps to destroy marriages. We're talking about breaking idols and family curses. You break idols and family curses in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth. That's how you do it. Because we're not talking we're not saying and speaking to give credit to the enemy. We're praying and speaking that you would have deliverance from the enemy. Now, we have a few minutes left. Our call number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. If you might be out of the calling area, is 1-323-375-0849. Now, like I said, breaking idols and family curses, and as we were saying earlier, in order to break any curse, in order to break any idol, you have to denounce it, you have to forgive, you have to bind up and cast out all those foul spirits in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you call on Jesus, having faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, And if you have repented, and if you have called on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, and if it's real simple, and I'm going to read something to you right here. It's real simple, so you won't think that I'm just saying something. But the scripture tells us in Romans 10 and 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, right there. What do you save? You're saved from the consequences of sin and death. You're also saved from the power and the curses of Satan, the enemy, the devil, Asmodeus. That's your first step right there. If you're not saved, you need to get saved so you can have power and authority over these fallen spirits through Christ Jesus. Now, it says here, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the first step right there. That's it. Simple. Simple. It's simple. Just repent. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you, and he will. Repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Turn away from the sin. Ask God to cleanse you and fill you with his precious Holy Ghost, and he'll do it. Then you have the power of Jesus Christ moving in and through you, and you have authority by and through Jesus Christ to come against these foul spirits that's tearing up your life, destroying your family, wreaking havoc in your life, coming against your husband, coming against your wife, coming against your children. You can't do it on your own. You don't have the strength and the power against these foul spirits, these king demons. That's ordering around 72 legions of demons. You can't handle that on your own. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the Lord. You need the Lord. You can't make it. All this stuff that you're looking at on the news, a lot of it is demonically inspired, but they will not call on the Lord, and as a result of them not calling on the Lord, you see what you see. You see murder, pedophiles. You see people engaged in all kind of foul things. Why? Because they will not, and many of them refuse to accept God and Jesus Christ in their life. They'll go to mediums. They'll go to false prophets. They'll look at this paranormal activity and all this and all these kinds of things. But they will not seek the Lord. People, in this last day and time, we need the Lord. America needs to repent. America needs to bend the knee. America needs to turn back to God. America needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. It's time out for all this foolishness. We're talking about breaking out of them family curses. The only way you're going to do that is in Christ Jesus. You can't go to a medium and get set free. You can't go to false prophets and get set free. You can't go to tarot cards and get set free. You can't go to Satanists and get set free from Satan. It doesn't work that way. But we're going to end. I just want to put that on your mind. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father God, we ask that you bless everyone that listened on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch their hearts and their mind, that they would take advantage of the word, and that they would use the word for their deliverance, that they would seek Jesus Christ for their deliverance. For Father God, we know not when our last hour is. We don't know our time on the earth, Lord, but you know. But, Father God, while we have life, while we have the blood running warm in our veins, while we have breath in our body, touch us, Lord, that we would seek you. Touch us, Lord, that we would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we may be delivered and set free from the grip of the enemy. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Send your spirit to help us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch them, Lord. Set them free. Give them deliverance. Let them realize your love. Let them realize your hope. Let them realize your power, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. We pray that someone has been blessed through this episode on the night, Breaking Idols and Family Curses. We hope to be with you again next Friday at the same time at 8 o'clock. If you desire to worship with us, as was announced earlier, we are at 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton. Services start at 11 o'clock, Kingdom of God Ministries. Thank you and be blessed. Goodbye until we meet again. Goodbye.